Today on The Journey.
So I know that I can't live in habitual sin, but the question here is, what if occasionally I just do some planned acts of sin? Just this one time.
For believers in Christ Jesus, the yoke and chains of sin have been removed. But we are not free like the culture defines freedom. Instead, we have been liberated so that we can choose our master. Today, Ron Moore looks at our emancipation and our ongoing struggle to live only as slaves to the master of life. Also, please note our offer of Ron's study booklet titled Romans. There, he makes the foundational truths of the Christian faith easier to understand. Romans is available free of charge at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it after today's message. Now, here's Ron with The Gift of God on The Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans as we continue our study through this book. Today, we're going to be looking at chapter 6, verse 15. And you remember last time, Paul told us we're sinners by nature. Our sinful nature is what drives us. Our sinful nature is what controls us. But when we become a Christian, we say, I don't want to be controlled by that anymore. I understand that separates me from God and will separate me from God for eternity. I want to follow God. I want to have a relationship with the living God. And we trust in Christ. And when we do that, God unplugs us from our sinful nature. He not only unplugs us from our sinful nature, but he plugs us in to the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So now we've been unplugged from the sinful nature. We've been plugged in to Jesus Christ. He lives within us. We can be free to live a life that pleases him. We don't have to be controlled by the sinful nature anymore. However, as we learned last time, the sinful nature is going to be a part of our life until the day we die. Although we are unhooked from the source still stays with us. And therein lies the battle. Here I am, I'm a believer, I've trusted in Christ, I want to live a life that pleases him. There will be times I say, Lord, I know what the word says, I know what I should do, but I just don't want to do it. And then if we're a believer, the conviction comes. We understand that's not the way to live. There is confession. There's repentance. God, by his grace, says you don't have to do that anymore. And we can live a life that pleases him. We're in a battle. And we have three enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, here's what I think a lot of Christians do. Because we don't want to take personal responsibility for our sin. It's got to be somebody else's fault. And so we say, man, it is the world's fault. If it wasn't for this world, man, it'd be great. Then others would say, well, it's the devil, man. The devil just trips me up all the time. It's always the devil. And I can keep the responsibility of my sin at a distance. It's not the deal. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you or come up on you except that is common to what? Man. There's no temptation that's new. But God is faithful. He will always allow a way to escape it. When we are tempted and give in, it is not the world's fault. That may be the source. It is not the devil's fault. That may be the source. Whose fault is it when you sin? Own it. Because until you own it, you won't do anything with it. I sin because the sinful nature is within me. And I am one step away from taking it out again and living by the sinful nature. So own it. It's not the world's fault. It's not the devil's fault. They will set the table of temptation before you, but you will eat it, and I will eat of it only when I say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to be controlled by you. I want to be controlled by my own sinful nature. So this whole Christian life, that's the battle I face. I got these three enemies. I got the world come in, I got Satan, but then I got the sinful nature. Christian life is not easy, but we have the power we need to live it and live it in a way that pleases God. Now, a lot of people will say, well, here's how the Christian life works. And this gets so many believers confused. When I become a Christian, it's a victorious lifestyle, and boom, I just shoot right up. It's the old life's gone, the new has come, that's the deal. Well, the old life has gone, the new life has come, but show me one place in Scripture where someone just boom. No trip ups, no problems, right to heaven. So others will say, no, it's not that. This is the way it works. You become a Christian, but you're hanging out on the low shelf. And then there comes a time, maybe it's the next month, or maybe it's 10 years, whatever, you have a second work of grace. Now, where I grew up, that second work of grace was called sanctification. And so people would go around our church saying, have you been sanctified? I shoot up to this new level of the Christian life, and boom, that's just when it soars. So I meander here, I get this second work of grace, and then boom, up to Christ. I don't find that in Scripture. Here's what the Bible says. When I become a Christian, I have the Holy Spirit right then and there. That day. It's not a second work of grace. It's one and the same. I trust in Christ. I'm unplugged from my sinful nature. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within me. I don't have to wait. I don't have to speak in tongues. I don't have to go to the altar and be sanctified. It happens that day. Right then and there, I am set apart by God Himself. Positionally, I am made holy. But the Christian life is going to look like this. As I live it, I'm in this battle. Sometimes I have a great day. I win the battle. Other days, I don't. Some valleys, some spiritual peaks, all the way until the day I die. And the day I die, then the sinful nature is taken away. And in eternity, I don't have to worry about the sinful nature. And that's the battle we're in. And so we should be progressing in our walk with Christ. That is so critical for us to understand. And that's what Paul is teaching us in Romans 6 through 8. Okay, let's look at Romans 6. We're going to look at verse 15. Now, the cool thing is, in chapter 6, verse 1, Paul is addressing a question about grace. And he said, wherever sin is, God's grace abounds all the more. Well, someone would say, if God's grace abounds all the more where sin is, then I'll just continue to sin. I'll create a pile of sin. Because if I create a pile of sin in my life, God's grace pile will be bigger, and everyone will be able to see God's pile of grace. Isn't that cool? And Paul says in chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? May genoita, strongest Greek negative. May it never be. Now, in chapter 6, verse 15, he's going to take the five things we learned last time. Remember, we've been unplugged from the sinful nature. We've been plugged into the power source of Christ. That's happened so that we can be free from sin. That's happened so that we can not follow our sinful nature. And I challenged us to think about that every day, to let that soak into our minds, to understand that we don't have to sin today, that I'm going to go out today and I'm going to take on this battle and I'm not by myself. The Holy Spirit lives within me. Well, Paul is going to repeat that in these next verses. He's going to hit it from a different direction because it's so important. He asks this question in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Now, here's what Paul's asking. So I know that I can't live in habitual sin, but the question here is, what if occasionally I just do some planned acts of sin? I know the habitual thing's not right. Everybody knows that. But every once in a while, that's the verb tense here, that one-off occasional sin. What about that? Hey, God, you know I'm not like that all the time, but just this one time. What answer does Paul give to that? What then? Shall we do this one act of sin because we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace? He gives the same answer as he does in verse 1, doesn't he? Meganoita. Verse 16, don't you know? When you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. The word slaves is doulos. You are swallowed up in that will. You are bound to that thing. You serve that thing. Paul says, don't you know that? If you do it one time, you're no longer controlled by the Spirit, and you're plugging it back in to the control of the old master, and you're obeying the old master. Even if you do that one off time, Paul says, no. He continues to say in verse 16, you're slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death. And he's not saying there you lose your salvation. He's just saying the old sinful nature produces death. Genesis chapter 2 and 3. On the other hand, controlled by the Spirit leads to obedience. That leads to that progress in the spiritual life. Look at verse 17. But thanks be to God that you used to be slaves to sin. That's what you used to do. But not any longer. You wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. What's Paul saying there? You trusted in the gospel. You realized you were a sinner. You couldn't save yourself. You understood Jesus came to pay the penalty of your sin, and you trusted him. You did that wholeheartedly. You didn't just walk an aisle and say, oh, I'm a Christian. You didn't just sign a card. You did it wholeheartedly. It was something that happened inside of your heart. It was real. Let me talk to some of you college students and teenagers. You're at a stage of your life where if you get it, you can live your life full out from early on in a way that pleases God. And you're making some critical decisions. And if you make those decisions controlled by the sinful nature, they are not going to be good decisions. And some of those decisions you're going to have to live with, like marriage. And if you make them when you're not plugged into the right source, you're going to have a life of challenge. So I'm going to ask you this question. Have you wholeheartedly trusted in Christ? Some of you have been going to church your entire life. All you've known is church. But church doesn't save you. And if you are somehow depending on the fact that you attend church, you're trusting the wrong stuff. We brought our kids to church every Sunday, right? Didn't have a choice. What's impressive about that? Get in the car, we're going to church. Here at the Bible Chapel, we're looking at you when you leave, when you go to college, when you don't have to go to church anymore, when you're making decisions whether to get up and be connected to a community or not, when you live in the world and all around you, there is stuff that is just opposed to Christianity. See, that's what the Christian life is about. Now, here's where that builds, and here is where you get the truth, and here's where you get the roots. But just coming doesn't get it. Have you wholeheartedly trusted in Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior? Not the Savior of your parents, but your Savior. Okay, now from teens to everybody, have you done that? Have you wholeheartedly trusted in Christ? When you do, life changes. Verse 18, if you've trusted in Christ, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You don't have to follow the old sinful nature. Don't blame it on the devil and don't blame it on the world. Those certainly play in, but I sin when I follow my own sinful nature. When I become a Christian, I don't have to do that anymore. And therein lies the battle. In verse 19, Paul says, I put this in human terms because you're weak in your natural selves. So what Paul is saying here is, I don't really like this analogy of slavery, but I'm using it because you get it, Romans. Some of you are slaves. You know what that means. And you live in a society where there are slaves. So you understand that a slave has to follow his master. He has to do what his master tells him. Paul says, I don't like to use that because Jesus said in John chapter 8, when the Son has set you free, you'll be free indeed. You no longer be a slave, but you're a son. And when the Son sets you free, you'll be free as a child of God. But Paul says, I'm going to keep using it because it's an illustration that we can understand. The rest of verse 19, just as you used to offer parts of your body to slavery, to impurity, to the ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. He talked about that in that first section, right? But as a good teacher, he repeats himself. He's driving it home. He's looking at it from different angles. The word holiness is the Greek word hagiosmos, and it means set apart, the process of being set apart, living a life that pleases God. A lot of times, it's translated sanctification. That's where we get that word, sanctified, set apart. So Paul is saying, so now offer your parts of your body to righteousness as slaves, leading to, you're not there, you're not fully sanctified yet, because you'll do that when you're in heaven, but the process begins now. Eternal life begins now. Leading, process of sanctification. Look at verse 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. So in your old life, when you were slaves to sin, you didn't have to worry about being a slave to God. You only had one master, your sinful nature. Now Paul says, how did that work for you? How was that? Look at the rest. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? So people will say, I had a BC life. I had a before Christ life. And I'm not proud of those things. And so Paul says, well then, as a Christian, why do you want to go back to the old master that made you ashamed of those things? When you followed your sinful nature, that's where you ended up. Why do you want to go back and be controlled by the one who led you into things you were ashamed of? Those things result in death. Remember, the sinful nature without Christ leads a person to death. Verse 22, but now you have been set free from sin, the sinful nature, and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. You know, some people become a Christian and they say, well, I'm going to become a Christian so that one day I can have eternal life. The deal is, the day you become a Christian, you begin that eternal life. This is the earthly part of it. There'll be a heavenly part of it. And living the eternal life should have signs of the eternal life. There are benefits to that. There's this progress in sanctification. And then Paul sums this up with, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word wages there refers to the earning of a soldier. So at the end of the month or at the end of the week, or probably in that day, at the end of every day, because a lot of times a soldier was paid in bread or fruits or vegetables. That soldier worked, and this is what he deserved, and this is what he earned, and this is what he got. And the wages of sin, the thing you earn from the sinful nature, is death. Not just physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. Those are the three deaths Scripture talks about. The wages of sin, if we continue to follow the sinful nature, never trust in Christ, we will die physically, we are already dead spiritually, and we will die eternally. And the Bible calls that hell, unashamedly, a conscious place of punishment. That's what this old nature leads to. Paul says, why do you want to follow that? But the gift of God, on the other hand, the free gift of God, the grace that he gives, is eternal life. That begins now, found in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that last line, and it is packed with theology. Those four words, Christ, that's Christos, Messiah, the one you've been waiting for to the Jewish people, the God in the flesh to the non-Jews. He is Christ. But he's not just God. He is God-man. Jesus, that was his human name. He's also Lord. He's not just your Savior. He is your Master. He's the one who pulled you out of the pit of hell, and now he's the one you follow because you love him. And that word, our, personal pronoun, our. He belongs to me. I am his and he is mine. Not just some religious deal. It's a personal relationship with the living God. Christ Jesus, our Lord. Powerful, powerful statement of who Jesus is. So there's this old writer named J.C. Ryle. He's a great writer. If you get a chance to read some of his stuff, you can. It's all over the internet. But one of the books that I got early on was a book called Holiness, and it's one of his best books. He says, a person who supposes that Jesus Christ only lived and died and rose again in order to provide justification and forgiveness of sins for his people has yet much to learn. There are some of you right here in that sentence. J.C. Ryle just said it to you. You got a lot to learn. Because you think that since you became a Christian when you were 3 or 4, and that's where you stop, you have much to learn. Whether he knows it or not, he is dishonoring our blessed Lord and making him only half Savior. Anyone relate to that? You got the fire insurance, Jesus saved me, but I'm still so plugged into the old sinful nature, to call him my master would be a crock. The Lord Jesus has undertaken everything that his people's souls require, not only to deliver them from the guilt of their sin by his atoning death, and he's not talking there about, well, we're feeling pretty guilty about our sin psychologically. He's talking about the guilt of our sin that had God's wrath up on it. Not only did he deliver us from God's wrath, but he also delivered us from the dominion of their sin by placing in their hearts the Holy Spirit, not only to justify them, but also to sanctify them. Not only to save them, but also to set them apart. Not only to make them righteous before God, but also to be involved in the process of sanctification. Not a perfect process, is it? But a jagged line of growth over our life. We are obeying Christ and he is our master. And the progress is when that happens more than it doesn't over the long haul.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a special announcement. Some have said that Paul's letter to the Romans is the Bible compressed into one book, yet few believers understand its brilliance, color, and depth. Now, Ron Moore makes that easier with this 50-page study guide simply titled Romans. This diamond of the New Testament sparked the Protestant Reformation. Its worth is so great that countless Christians have staked their reputations, their lives, and their spiritual destiny on its teaching. Learn why when you join Ron in his study of this foundational letter to the Christians of Rome. Romans is yours for free at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, here's Ron with a special announcement.
Well, I know you have many opportunities to give to God's work in the world. I know that because I'm also asked on a daily basis to give to many worthy ministries. And like you, I can't give to all of them. So Laura and I make priorities based on where we think our gifts can make the most impact for the gospel. I'm going to ask you to do the same, to pray about that, and to consider our work here at The Journey. Radio is truly a God-ordained means to effectively communicate His love to a dying world. It's also a great medium for equipping, and that's our heartbeat here at The Journey. We want to engage believers in daily discipleship. So if your vision matches ours, and if you count us worthy as we preach and teach God's Word, we're going to ask you to become a partner with us through a generous gift today.
We'd love to have you on our team. And as always, thank you for joining us here on the journey.
And please remember to order your free copy of Ron's study booklet, Romans. It's available in print or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.